Hey everybody, today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 1. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests and elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster flask, a very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant. Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. So we're at a really important transition point in the Gospel of Matthew. This section opens with the statement that Jesus finished all these sayings. Now, every time Jesus is given a long sermon in Matthew, it says the same thing or something similar. But in this case, it says he finished all these sayings. In other words, Jesus has wrapped up his teaching, and he's not going to teach anymore. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll notice that the solid red blocks are done at this point, because now Jesus is entering into his suffering, and he knows that the plot against him is going to unfold, and he will be quiet through all of this. I think there's also probably an echo of Genesis chapter 20 or chapter 2, where it says that God finished all these things in creation. Just as God created the world in his word, Jesus in his own word has finished his teaching. It is perfect. And now he's moving on to his work as high priest. One of the words that will be repeated again and again for the rest of the Gospel of Matthew is handed over or betrayed, because Jesus says it here that he will be betrayed. And it says at the end of this section that Judas looked for an opportunity to betray him. So this is one of the major themes, that Jesus hands himself over or allows himself to be handed over for his ministry as a high priest. So, of course, we get this plot. And it's worth noting that the leaders say, well, let's do this not when there's a festival going on, so there's not a riot. And what's ironic is that it winds up being during the Passover that they arrest him, and there winds up being a riot at Jesus' trial. So I think it's a little hint that though they're plotting to kill him, they're not in charge. And remember that Matthew is also hinting at Psalm 2, where it says that the leaders and princes gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. So we see the leadership in the temple in this place of opposing God's anointed. Well, the center of this section is, of course, the woman that anoints Jesus. She anoints him, other gospels tell us, with something like 20 years' wages worth in terms of this alabaster jar. And one thing I would note is that Jesus is being anointed in two ways, two significant anointings in Scripture. One, the high priest is anointed for his ministry, or priests in general are anointed to commission them in their ministry in the temple of approaching God on behalf of the people. But also, kings are anointed. And I think Jesus is anointed as both. He is anointed as priest, beginning his ministry, and he is anointed as king. And just as David's brothers were indignant when he was anointed, the disciples are indignant that Jesus is anointed with this oil. What's interesting here is that I think Matthew wants us to notice that this woman, Mary in other Gospels, is the only woman who's apparently been listening to what Jesus has said. Because Jesus has just said, and he said repeatedly, "Guys, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be handed over, I'm going to be crucified." And Jesus specifically says, she's doing this to prepare me for burial. So she is the only one among the disciples that seems to have listened to him and understand that he is going to his death. And so she is anointing him and preparing him for that burial. Of course, the disciples do some virtue signaling here. They're doing an evaluation of what the ointment was worth and saying, oh, we could have given a lot of that to the poor if she had not wasted that. And then there's also valuation going on among the leaders and with Judas, because Judas haggles with them for what Jesus is worth. And I think all of this is signaling that everybody's doing evaluations of what Jesus is worth, and everybody gets it wrong except this woman. And perhaps what we could say is that nothing spent on Jesus is wasted. And this woman actually gets it in a way that the disciples don't get it. Of course, Matthew's recording this, so he's recording his own failure to value Jesus rightly, but also honoring this woman for understanding that nothing that is spent on Jesus is ultimately wasted. And then, of course, it ends with Judas looking for that moment to betray Jesus. And he gets these 30 pieces of silver for betraying Jesus. And again, I think we need to understand, among many, many other things, that Judas absolutely values Jesus wrongly. And so I think maybe one of the best things to apply or to draw out of this section of Scripture is, do we think we're wasting something when we spend something on Jesus? Do we think we're wasting time when we spend time reading His Word or praying? Do we think spending time on the least of these, His brethren, is a waste of time when we could be making money or doing other things? So I do really think that part of what's going on in the Scripture is we're called to learn to value rightly what we spend, and in particular, what we spend on Jesus. And to contrast that with the way that we might do a little self-righteous slapping ourselves on the back for the more efficient ways we might spend money. Again, it is the question of what is most precious. And difficult times reveal to us what is most precious to us. And hopefully we can be like this woman who valued Jesus aright.